Hey listeners, just jumping in quickly before the podcast to notify you about the Bodytrack Academy educational webinars that we have available via Eventbrite. We cover a variety of topics ranging from oncology, musculoskeletal rehab, neurological rehab, mental health, performance and much more, all of which you can access 24/7. That means you can purchase the webinar and watch it at any time that suits you. You can claim our webinars as PD points via SS self-assessment tool, and as a valued listener of the podcast, you're entitled to $10 off any of our webinars, but do hurry because the code is only available to the first 10 purchases. Just use the code FIRST10. So head on over to Eventbrite and browse our webinars. The link is in the show notes and on the Bodytrack Academy Facebook page. I'd like to begin this podcast by acknowledging the Yagara and the Turrbal people as the traditional custodians of Meanjin, the lands on which our podcast is recorded. We pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging. Welcome to the Bodytrack Academy podcast, created by EPs for EPs. The podcast will take you on an in-depth understanding of everything an EP is faced with on a day-to-day basis, including clinical, personal, and business practices, to ensure you become the best practitioner possible. If you enjoy the podcast, make sure you like, share, follow us on whatever streaming service you use to ensure the message spreads and you are notified of any new podcasts or educational resources available to you. Furthermore, if you're not already part of our online academy, head over to Facebook and join the Bodytrack Academy. Happy listening.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Bodytrack Academy. My name is Georgia. I'm one of the exercise physiologists here at Bodytrack, and you have me today for a solo episode on endometriosis and raising awareness, given that this March it is Endometriosis Awareness Month. So you may have seen on our socials a couple of posts from myself, an interview with Mackenzie that I would very strongly encourage you to go have a look at over at our Instagram. But essentially our job today is to have a little bit of a chat about bringing it all together and sort of summarizing what this month means and what our job is as exercise physiologists and how we can take some strategies to our practice ourselves. So as a little bit of an introduction, endometriosis, as some of you may know, is an inflammatory condition where tissue similar to that of the lining of the uterus grows outside of the uterus. It is most commonly found on or around pelvic organs, though it can also be found deeper. So it can be in the rectovaginal septum, the blood of the bowel, and I've even seen studies that are very much rarer, but can be found even outside of the pelvis and the lungs and the brain. So the adhesions that are created because of this can cause a spectrum of symptoms, with some of the most common being severe chronic pain, heavy bleeding, cramping, painful intercourse, and also discomfort with urination as well. So as you can imagine, quite widespread symptoms that are very much going to be impacting the lives of our clients. People living with endometriosis as well will often have comorbid conditions. So this can include things like migraines, IBS, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, and often even more so things like ovarian cysts, uterine fibroids, and things like that. So as you can imagine, it's really crucial for us to address these patients in a multidisciplinary fashion. So making sure that we're keeping on track of their involvement with dietitians and specialists, gynecologists, everybody around them, to make sure that we're having the most optimal care for our clients. So with this month being about awareness, I think the place for us to start too is acknowledging just how common this condition is, and I suppose the complexity of it like we've just discussed, but also the way in which people are diagnosed. So about 1 in 10 women of reproductive age are actually living with endometriosis right now, but it is frequently underdiagnosed. So there are diagnosis and onset of symptoms, the latency between these two points can be 6, 7, even more so 10 plus years. And so women and people that have female reproductive organs are often experiencing these symptoms from the onset of menstruation. They're told by health professionals that either it's a normal period or their symptoms are dismissed. And there's a huge stigma that is a component of that, which means that they then just choose that or feel that they just have to live like this and that there's nothing that can be done. So I think we play a really important role as health professionals to validate this experience of our clients, to give them a space to share their story, and to then provide them with the tools to either become diagnosed or reach support systems that they may not have thought that they could have access to. And now actually is probably a good time to sort of acknowledge the fact that now pelvic pain places are coming about in terms of through doctors and GPs, there's now pain programs around education and sort of facilitating a space for people to come together and learn about endometriosis and pelvic pain. So if you are living with endometriosis or if you know somebody living with endometriosis, definitely encourage you to reach out to your GP and sort of dictate whether this could be something that may be useful for you. I know off the top of my head that Neighbourhood Medical, which is in Barden, which is my favourite GP because it's my GP, they have been helping to facilitate this in the community as well. So definitely get onto that. But I suppose outside of that, I think the thing that's going to be useful for us to chat about today in our podcast is going to be more so around, I guess, case studies, things that I've picked up in practice over the last year or two as I've developed my special interests within the women's health space and sort of what this might mean and what things that you guys can take away to trial with your patients. So with initial assessments for clients living with endometriosis, I think the most crucial part is our subjective assessment. So like I mentioned earlier, giving our clients the space to share their story. So as I mentioned too, it's likely that our clients have been experiencing and living and adapting to living with these symptoms for a really, really long time. And it's likely too that they may be apprehensive initially around sort of sharing their symptoms, not only because of the stigma that may be associated with them, but also because they may have just adapted to these being their normal everyday life now. So I think taking a second to build that rapport and sort of have the space be a safe space for our clients, acknowledge and educate them that we do know what's happening, we do know that it's valid, and we do want to make sure that we're supporting them in every way that we can. So with that, my subjective assessment will start similarly to any other sort of conditional presentation. So making sure that we've got a really good understanding of our medical history. So for a client living with endometriosis, obviously that will entail whether or not they, hopefully if they have come to us, they are diagnosed. If they're not, facilitating that and the options to see a gynecologist through their GP, and everything that that entails is important. Because we do know that the laparoscopy is the only way to diagnose endometriosis at this stage. So it's quite an invasive diagnostic procedure, but it is sort of how we can then move along with accessing more support. However, if they don't have a diagnosis as well, the same subjective and objective assessments will be important. So the questions that I'll always ask is sort of how, I guess, they seem and perceive exercise endometriosis to be impacting their life at the moment. So running through symptoms, sort of breaking those down as we go to see if there's things that we can either be again referring onwards for or acknowledging as something that's going to be important when we consider exercise and exercise selection. From here again too, we'll sort of get an idea from that on what their medical team is so that then we can again sort of flag for the people that we might want to be in conversation with to ensure that we're holistically managing our client and having them be at the center of their care. But at the same time too, it'll just mean that we know that our role is going to slide in against what they're already doing. We can sort of get an idea about what has worked in the past for them, what might not have worked in the past for them, and sort of where we might then come in as part of the team and how we can sort of lead the conversation in where exercise is then going to fit in. Outside of that, I'll get an idea of sort of what their everyday life is. So whether they're working, studying, or if they're doing something else in between that, getting an idea of sort of what they need to be able to do in their life, how their symptoms may be impacting these things. So within this conversation, things like fatigue, stress, sleep, diet, any sort of comorbid conditions like IBS and things like that that may be impacting their everyday life, now is a really good time to delve into that because we know that not only are these things very strongly associated with endometriosis, but they are also strongly associated with that pain cycle. So we know that if these things are impacting their life, then it's going to be impacting in a way how they are perceiving pain and how that's then presenting as what we call sort of central sensitization or sort of the central nervous system's way of protecting when we have been in pain for a really long time. Our body unfortunately gets really good at being in pain. And so we just want to make sure that we're sort of aware if this is something that's happening, that exercise and our education and our confidence in that as practitioners is hopefully going to be something that we can then integrate into our sessions to sort of desensitize the central nervous system and give them strategies to work on that both in sessions and externally in their own time. Outside of this, I'll get a little bit of an idea about their exercise history. So things that they have enjoyed in the past or have been able to do in the past, things that they're doing currently, things that they would like to do. I do find that with people, again, sort of that are living with more chronic pain, sort of asking them what they would like to be able to do if they didn't have pain, and things like that can sort of give us an idea of how we might be able to tier our approach through exercise to give them access to doing the things that are meaningful to them in a way that's right for their body at the right time. So I think that's a really nice question to ask sometimes for people. And again, gauge that based on the person in front of you, because everybody's going to respond to those sorts of questions and discussions a little bit differently. Outside of that, I just get a bit of a gauge on their expectations around exercise and their time with me. So I think that's an important part too, sort of looking at what they expect they're going to be able to do, or sort of what their exercise journey might look like, because that's going to also dictate sort of where we start and where our assessments might go from there as well. So after our subjective assessment, objectively, again, everybody is different and everybody is going to be presenting differently day to day. So we know that with endo, it is cyclic. So generally speaking, if you're having somebody come in for initial assessment, you'd sort of hope and expect that potentially they're coming in feeling relatively okay, and that they would have perhaps delayed their start date with you if they weren't having a fantastic day. But that's not to say that they may not come in a flare, and you may need to modify your approach, and you may spend your initial assessment just subjectively, and that's okay. That's going to give us a starting point, and that's going to validate again their experience and that they are in the right place with you and they are confident with you as their practitioner joining their team. However, objectively speaking, if we are going to be completing an assessment on the day, I find that questionnaires can be handy. So things like our fatigue severity scales and sort of looking at that across your treatment plan and how that changes before or after exercise. And that can be sort of used then as a marker of how to determine the type of session that you're going to have day to day when your clients do come in. There are a whole breadth of other sort of questionnaires in there that do exist that may be worthwhile looking into too, around sort of pelvic pain and things like that. Again, depending on how motivating that's going to be for the client and how much information you're going to gain from that, you can sort of dictate that as the practitioner too. Outside of this, we know that with endometriosis, that pelvic floor is a pretty big consideration in relation to, more generally speaking, hypertonicity of pelvic floor. So it's likely that because our clients are living with such significant and severe and sustained pain, that their pelvic floor is more likely than not going to be hypertonic and guarded and doing too much. So if our clients are experiencing pelvic pain, then it can be really important or useful as well to refer off to a women's health physio or a pelvic health physio, because they do have the capacity to complete internal exams and look at things in a way that will then dictate sort of how we address pelvic floor exercise and integration into exercise as exercise physiologists. So that can be a great place to start. It's not a must, but it can be a really good and useful way to, again, broaden their team of safe and supportive people. And then you can work with that physio too to make sure that what you're doing is the right thing as well. Outside of this, I suppose with our pelvic health, we want to make sure too that we're considering the muscles that support the pelvis. So when we are thinking about hypertonicity through pelvic floor, it's likely that the muscles around it are also going to be quite guarded tight, because we are spending a lot of time in that sort of protective painful posture. If you kind of think the fetal position, it's something that a lot of my clients have sort of said is the most comfortable position to be able to just survive, I suppose, when we are in that amount of pain. And so because of that, those muscles, so thinking sort of our hip flexors, our core muscles, our adductors, our glutes, all of those sort of muscles around the pelvis are likely to be quite tight, and that's going to contribute to both hypertonicity of pelvic floor, but also how we experience pain sort of around the hips and around the back, outside of just the hormonal impact of that too. So in terms of assessments, I suppose just having a little bit of a look around your passive and active range of motion around the hips and around the spine can be a really great place to start, just to see sort of how they're moving and what points you might want to dictate as part of a mobility and strength program moving forwards. So I'll always have a little bit of a look at that. Sometimes I'll have a bit of a look at a Thomas test too, because again, that sort of just gives us a little bit of information around sort of our hip flexors, our lateral hip and our quads as well. So you can kind of have a bit more of an objective look at that too. Outside of this, if they are feeling comfortable too and they're in the space where it's going to feel okay for their body to do so, having a look at stability is a really important one as well. So looking at how we're able to stand on one leg or complete a single leg stand, just so we can sort of get to look at the mechanics. So things that are a bit more functional too can be great. So looking at things like a step up, or in particularly a step down, I really like to look at, just because we can sort of see the control that they do have around their pelvis and the awareness that they have around their pelvis, because that's going to also sort of support our selection of exercises moving forwards. Kind of keeping on the lens of strength training, I'll sort of as well look towards whether or not or how good they are at sort of utilizing their core and their pelvic floor in a way that is conducive to both, again, that sort of relaxation and activation, with potentially, again, more of that focus on relaxation, of course, but how well they're able to actually do those things and sustain them through moving parts and moving in different ways. For our clients that come through BodyTrack, a lot of the women that we see will sometimes transition towards our women's strength class. So again, if they're feeling up to it, we may take them through strength testing to get a bit of an idea about their baseline. But outside of that, I think sort of having your core principles around stability, strength, and then all of your subjective information should give you a pretty good picture on the right place to start in terms of your exercise selection.
Hey, thanks for taking the time to listen to our podcast. We hope you're learning a lot in this particular episode. Just a shout out to our sponsor, HGG Performance, which provide very high quality, innovative gym equipment and custom fit outs to enable you to pivot your potential and smash performance and rehab goals. They are world renowned for their innovative creations in the gym accessory space, including the best-selling ISO Tibel T, Tib Bar, Wrist Axe, and Nordic Bar. And I got to say, we're using some of these equipment in our clinic and finding some great results. Used by professional sports teams, athletes, and coaches worldwide, as well as the military, health practitioners, and apparently even Joe Rogan uses their gear. HGG is a proudly Aussie-owned company that makes all their gym equipment at their Gold Coast HQ. In our partnership with them, we are stoked to offer you 10% discount on any product with the code BODYTRACK10, so you can experience what all the hype is about yourself. So jump over to their website, go to the checkout, punch in the code of BODYTRACK10 to get 10% off on any of their great innovative gym equipment and start using today. Thanks very much.
So after we do our objective assessment, I suppose our next step is then formulating our plan and what we're going to be doing with our clients moving forwards. So for me, I think this is a pretty crucial component because, as you know, endometriosis is very cyclic and pain flare-ups are cyclic, and they're going to come on with no explanation in the sense of being able to expect what's going to happen outside of obviously your menstrual cycle, but things are going to flare up and they're not going to be done in a way that's expected. And so we might have our clients come in one day, and I will sometimes have a client come in and see them straight away after knowing them for a little bit that today is going to be a day that's going to look a little bit different. Or again, on the other side of things, your clients may come in and they may be ready to go. They may have gone for a run yesterday. They may have been able to go play soccer. There's no limit to the things that our clients are capable of doing. It just is about meeting them at where they're at and letting them be in control of their health, because they know their body better than anyone. And I think being able to do that and promote that confidence in their body and that control in their body is really crucial. At the same time, though, and in the words of Mackenzie, our wonderful EP, as we were talking about this in planning this podcast, be kind to yourself, because at the same time too, you're allowed to come into a session and say, I really don't feel good. I don't really know if I wanted to be here today. And that might be a day where we go, okay, let's get started on the floor. Let's run through our mobility. Let's run through our diaphragmatic breathing. Let's see if we can get this parasympathetic nervous system response happening. Let's see if we can just provide a space for your muscle to and your body to just let go for a second if possible. Because I think being able to do that and provide your client with the confidence to know that no matter what stage they're in, there is going to be something that we can do. And just because we've had a flare up, it doesn't mean that we're not still progressing as part of our plan. It just means that we're doing plan B today instead of doing plan A. So using your assessment items and making sure that there are elements in either program. So basically what I do, I suppose that's probably a better way to frame this too. So when I'm writing a program for clients that are living with pelvic pain and endometriosis, I'll sort of have almost like an A plan and a B plan. So my A plan will sort of be more focused around potentially their more long-term goals. So for example, if somebody is wanting to do some running eventually, working on our strength and length to be able to support that sort of a goal, while also mitigating the things that we've talked about that we know are important for managing endometriosis. And that program will be more of our traditional sort of progressive resistance training program, following all the principles of that, elements of education as we go along so that we're still managing that pain cycle, we're still giving our clients confidence in their bodies. And then I'll often have a B cycle, and that's, or a B plan, I should say, and that one may be more sort of focused on our mobility of that pelvic musculature, that relaxation around pelvic floor, diaphragmatic breathing, chatting to our client about their day, seeing if there's things that we can do to strategize around stress management, sleep, all of those things that are going to hopefully have them feeling more like themselves. And then we sort of dictate from there. So you may sort of wonder what parameters I use to sort of dictate which plan I do day to day. Sort of as I mentioned before, once you get to know your clients, you're going to kind of have a pretty good idea of where you're going to start. They know their body as well. So asking them is a really good place to start. I will also use my fatigue or like sleep scales. I'll also sometimes check in around sort of nutrition, particularly for our clients that might have IBS or other gastrointestinal comorbidities. And we'll sort of gauge off that. So if we are having fatigue, that's 5, 6, 7 out of 10, we'll likely be doing that secondary program. If we're feeling okay, symptoms are relatively at bay, then happy to progress with that A program. And sometimes it may be a mix of both. Sometimes your clients might come in and we might start doing our mobility program, and then they recognize that they're feeling able to do their regular program, and we move into that. So at the crux of it, listen to your client. They know their body better than anyone. Give them space to be kind to themselves, but be that person that's there to support them in no matter what stage of their journey that they're at. All right. So to finish up, I think I'll quickly run through, I suppose, a couple of my favorite exercises that I found to be quite effective in utilizing with my clients that are living with endometriosis. So a bit trickier to explain, obviously, when we are on a podcast. We do have a very old endometriosis video on our Instagram from Endometriosis Awareness Month last year, I believe, where you will be able to find it if you like some videos. But a couple of my favorites for our mobility in particular is what I'll sort of talk through today. Starting with our pelvic floor, being in our child's pose with a wider stance between our knees, so sort of a wide child's pose, can be a really nice place to sort of lengthen through those pelvic muscles. Your head's sort of then between your hands. You've got a chance to then work into your breathing, work through our cue, so our flower bud cue, I find can be a really nice one. So imagine the vagina and the pelvic floor as a flower bud, and you're then slowly trying to let that flower bud open up petal by petal, and then using our breathing to facilitate that. There's plenty of analogies out there, team. So be creative. There's lots of things that are going to work differently for different people. Another exercise that's really useful are adductor stretches. So sort of being in that like open wide butterfly. So lying on your back, knees out, feet sort of together, getting that stretch through our adductors. If people are feeling up to it, more of a dynamic adductor stretch can be really good. So that's sort of more half kneel with our other leg long to the side. Sort of coming in and out of that adductor stretch can be a really great one too. Your classic just sort of glute bridge positions can be really nice, particularly with the focus on that segmental pelvic tuck positioning. I'll often use that one because it can just be a nice way too to sort of disassociate between like our rib cage and our hips. So our cat cows are really good for this kind of a thing too. And just kind of having everything move independently again, rather than sort of being in that stable, painful sort of a posture that's quite stiff. So just getting that movement around those parts of our spine can be really helpful. Speaking of the spine, again, sort of mobility around QL can be a really great place to be as well. So whether that means we're sitting on the floor, legs apart, coming up and over towards that opposite ankle, or I quite like a standing QL stretch sometimes too, where you have one foot behind the other, you're reaching up and over towards a door frame or a ladder or whatever you've got available, leaning into that outer hip to get that stretch through quadratus lumborum, that lovely two big muscles that sit either side of our spine. Outside of this, just doing anything that feels good for the client. Of course, I find that thoracic extension can be a really great place to stretch through. So popping a foam roller behind the shoulder blades, hands to support the neck, leaning back into it as you feel comfortable to. Even doing things like our side lying hip abductions or hip 90-90s too, so that we're getting that sort of pelvic movement outside of just our glute bridges can be a great one as well. But yeah, that's kind of, I guess, just a really quick brief mobility introduction of some of the things that I found to be helpful. But again, everybody's going to be a little bit different and things are going to work a little bit differently for everyone. So listening to your clients and doing what they need on the day. Wonderful. So team, I think that probably brings us to the end of our podcast today. Thank you so much for listening and for being here. We have provided some really cool content over on our Instagram that I would very much encourage you guys to have a little bit of a look at if you're interested in any more of the things that we've talked about today. Outside of that, if anybody has any questions or if you're interested in anything in particular, please feel free to reach out to us and let me know, because I'd be more than happy to have a chat about this, because it's something that I'm really passionate about. And invisible illness and things like endometriosis, I think the more that we talk about it, the more that we're hopefully going to see change in the space of research, reducing stigma, raising awareness, and just acknowledging too that this conversation is one that is important. And people that are living with conditions like endometriosis have likely spent a lot of their time not feeling like their voice is heard. And so making sure that we're part of the conversation, we're here to support, and we really want to make sure that BodyTrack is a safe space for clients that are living with these conditions. So if you have endometriosis, or if you know somebody living with endometriosis, absolutely reach out to us. We do a free 15-minute consultation for anybody that's wanting to have a chat, or if they're unsure if we are the right place for you. So definitely reach out if you've got any questions. But thank you so much again, everybody, and we'll look forward to meeting with you in the next podcast.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. So remember to share, like, or follow to keep updated with all our podcasts and educational resources.